Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone, panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
What's great? What's garbage? Everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
When I started prepping for today's show, this morning, Reiner, it doesn't seem like there's that much to talk about right now. Then, as I dug into it and as the day evolved, all kinds of stuff ended up popping up. Good evening.
Hello.
We'll get into a lot of different things. We'll definitely touch on Fortnite. Again, it's turned into every week there's something to talk about. And I guess credit Fortnite for staying relevant with new news virtually every show. Nintendo's finally going to launch their online service for the Switch. We're going to tell you about that.
18 months later.
18 months after the launch of the console. And it's ridiculous that it's taken this long, but we'll tell you about that. We'll talk about the highest rated game in all of Steam. It launched yesterday. I think it launched yesterday.
It's not Steam. What you expect either.
No, it's not what you expect. I think it's fantastic news. A new trailer for a brand new game that looks amazing. And neither Reiner and I, totally off our radars. Nobody knew. I can't find anybody that had any idea this game was in existence or even that the developer was in existence.
Yeah, nobody knows anything about this thing.
It's
out of nowhere.
It's only a trailer, but as I mentioned on Twitter, the trailer for this game has me as excited as any trailer since the BioShock trailer 10 years ago.
Oh, there's
when
the
that
hyperbole.
Came out. Oh, and that was, I saw that. I'm like, so we'll talk about that a little bit too. So plenty to get to. Fortnite. Let's start there, Ryan. Oh, and by the way, I should mention, Zach, we've got two sets of our Polk Audio Striker headsets, correct?
We do.
Two
of them.
1-800-320-5326 if you want to participate in the show tonight. You don't get them for free. You have to meaningfully contribute to the show. That's all. It's a very low bar, frankly. That's all you have to do. Let's talk Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
They've managed to, and I'm surprised more software, more games don't do this. They've got a crossover with Avengers Infinity War. Tell people about it.
Yeah, so you have the two biggest entertainment properties in the world right now.
Yeah,
Fortnite in games.
Yes.
Millions upon millions, tens of millions of people playing it.
Right.
And then the Avengers Infinity War, which is in theaters now, breaking box office records. Looks like it's going to be one of the biggest films of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So you take those two giant juggernauts and mash them together and make an amalgamation that just blows people's minds.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened here. So Thanos, the big bad from Avengers Infinity War, the purple guy with the Infinity Gauntlet glove with all the gems on it.
Can we call him omnipotent?
You can.
All right. Yeah, omnipotent Thanos.
He's godly.
Yeah.
He is in Fortnite now, and you get to play as him, and he is super powerful, although players thought he was too powerful. They started complaining that
that's right.
Whoever became Thanos was unstoppable, which it should be.
Well, because he's omnipotent.
So they nerfed him.
Yeah. Why put him in the game if Thanos is going to be like 4% better than everybody else?
Yeah, so they cut his health down a little bit. So basically what happens is it's the same game you know and love.
Yep, it's the Battle Royale format.
1 versus 100, you're still going against everybody else, mm-hmm. but in that constricting circle, at a random point in the match, early on, the Infinity Gauntlet's going to appear with all the gems on it.
Right.
And the first player to get it turns into Thanos. He flies up into the heavens. He comes roaring back down to Earth. He can jump like 100 feet in the air. He can punch through any structure.
Wow.
So if you're building like sniper nests and stuff like that. He will just tear them down.
That's awesome.
One punch will knock you out. And he can also use the power gem, the purple gem that he has from the movie. You've seen it, or the comics. He can use that as like a ray beam and just annihilate you. He is so powerful. Like, I unloaded... I don't know how many clips into him in rounds.
It doesn't matter. So you did not get to be him when you played today?
No. There's a video on GameInformer.com of me trying to be him for a long time.
Yes.
And just getting annihilated by him.
Is everybody just running around looking for the Infinity Gauntlet? So they, you know, more so than looking to kill each other?
Yeah. Well, then you have those people on the periphery that are like, they know everybody's going to be running in to go after Thanos, and they're just picking those people off
as they run in.
So it's So you gotta, I mean, you still have to play the game to win, but at the same time, everybody does want to take down this juggernaut. It is such a cool idea. It's free. Mm-hmm. Again, like, there's no money being exchanged here. You're not asked to get anything for it. But the sad thing, it is so good, but it's only limited time. So it's going to go away probably when Avengers is out of theaters, maybe a month or two.
Okay, so we don't know for sure when it's going to go away.
Yeah, but it will.
If you want to play without Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet, can you even do that right now?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I can play a standard match if I want. All right, so it's all right. It's just another mode for Battle Royale. I don't love it. In concept, I don't like it. Maybe if I ended up playing it, and I haven't played today, so I haven't played it. It only started today. I don't love the notion that one guy's got a lot of power, and everybody else has to either kill that guy, or you can kill everybody else.
Yeah.
Who's valiantly trying to kill Thanos.
And that's what makes that one mode different, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, maybe it's fine. Maybe why not, right? It's an additional mode. If I don't like it, I don't have to play it.
It's a fun, kind of dumb little thing.
So do you not think we're going to see a lot more of these kinds of crossovers? Well, I mean, video games are incredibly mainstream. So aren't we going to see a lot more crossovers like this in various franchises?
Well, it depends on what the franchise is. Like Destiny, you'd never see that, right? They'd be like, oh, you're breaking our lore. Like, even though people don't understand it, they'd be like, never, we can never have Master Chief in there. But Fortnite, they just don't care. You're running around in bunny suits and in Godzilla costumes.
It's always been sillier.
I have a Mary Poppins umbrella that I parachute down with. I mean, that's as silly as a game can get, and they can get away with anything.
Yeah.
Any crossover, you know, Deadpool would be a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dinosaur footprint that people found in the world, and now people are, after this hit, they're thinking Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is going to be next, so you might be playing as a T-Rex or something.
That would make sense. They previewed season 4 that ended up being a crater by showing a comet in the sky for, I don't know, a week or something before that hit. So maybe the dinosaur tracks are a sign.
It could be.
What's coming? Yeah. Now, Activision does not have a game with a Battle Royale mode.
Not yet.
But their CEO, Bobby Kotick, says, we're really good at copying other things. At least he didn't put it quite that way. Here's how he phrased it.
You don't want to lead with that.
We're very good at being inspired by trends in the industry.
We are going to steal everything.
Like the growing popularity of the Battle Royale genre. So, they say they're going to get on board, and I got to wonder, they're not the first mover in Battle Royale, that was PUBG.
Yep.
They're not the second mover in it, that's Fortnite. And by the time they have something out the door, who knows, they might be the 10th mover on it.
Well, I mean, we're speculating it's going to be this October.
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, right?
Black Ops 4.
Last month, reports surfaced that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 wouldn't have a traditional single-player campaign at all.
Bum, bum, bum.
But would have the Battle Royale mode. How do you feel about the single-player campaign getting stripped out of Call of Duty?
That's always my first entry point in the Call of Duty series.
Me too.
I play through that whole thing.
Yep.
I enjoy it for what it is. It is the Michael Bay popcorn experience.
Yeah. Massive explosions and set piece moments. And
you save the world by yourself. It's great.
Yeah.
And then you learn those mechanics and you
bring that's the real thing for me is that usually I haven't played it in 6 months. And so then I freshen up all my controls.
You bring that to the very competitive multiplayer space and you can stand your own a little bit in those early ranks, right? Like,
no, not really.
But yeah, that's been my process. Now it's like, okay, there's zombies coming back. I don't really play that. Mm-hmm. That's the cooperative mode against 4v hordes of zombies.
Yeah.
It's cool, but it's not my thing. And then multiplayer has always been great and fun and different. you know, very fast, great mechanics to the Call of Duty experience. But again, something's missing. And the way I view Battle Royale, yes, you are getting Battle Royale in place of single player, but I view Battle Royale as just another mode in that multiplayer sector of the game, right?
Yeah.
It's like Deathmatch or Capture the Flag. I think Battle Royale just kind of fits into that conversation.
For sure.
So if you get rid of that and you still charge $60 for your Call of Duty game, for the fans that are there...
Well, I mean, of course they will.
Yeah, but the fans that are there every year are going to see that as a diminish in value, no matter what.
Do you think they will? If they love it the way that people love Fortnite, they're not going to... They may not... They might forgive that.
If it's really good, but the conversation before they get their hands on that is going to be disaster. You know that.
The other thing that I worry a little bit about Call of Duty is... It's traditionally been, you know, massive team against massive team because, you know, these are, it's like war, right? It's country versus country. 100 down to 1 doesn't really fit anything in Call of Duty that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, you could do 50 v 50.
Yeah, you could do 50. Well, and, you know, I can play that elsewhere,
too. Four teams of 25 would be fun.
Yeah. But then it's not a Battle Royale. Battle Royale is last man standing.
Yeah, last team standing.
Yes, maybe.
They could spin it.
They could. And I'm sure they'll get away with it. I just think it'd be a little goofy.
The thing I think they need to do, let's say they keep the game $60. There's rumors they're going to have some like new co-op modes in addition to zombies.
Yeah.
That take the place of the single player and Battle Royale. But I think they should get rid... If they have Battle Royale, they should just give it away for free like Fortnite is.
Yeah.
And then have your $60 product be kind of like what Fortnite does, right? Like Epic's doing with that game is just have it there as an option, like if you eventually want to explore it. Because Epic's making a ton of money just that free-to-play game. Like people feel compelled to buy, you know, that bunny costume they want to wear for whatever reason.
Well, you want to differentiate yourself from the 99 other people playing, and that's reasonable. And, oh, by the way, it does not provide an advantage, which is something we care a lot about. All right, let's. We've already got several people that want to chime in on the phone lines. Let's let's start with Josh. Hi, Josh. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you.
I love your show. Got a little 30-second review on the God of War.
Good. Oh, nice. We were hoping for exactly that.
Well, hold on. No spoilers. Still too fresh.
No. Like very minimal. Just kind of like, you know, some of the guys you fight through, but nothing crazy.
All right, we'll trust you. Now you know this works, Josh. When you start talking, the timer will start. When you hear the ding, you have 5 seconds to wrap up. So a couple of sentences at that point. When you hear the buzzer, it's over. Go ahead.
All right, God of War is Zelda on the same steroids Jose Canseco used. You fight your way through a god-infested world with your son, destroying goblins, King Kong-like monkeys, wizard-like witches, and much more. It runs through all your emotions like a binge-worthy TV show you get to play. You can jump in and out of your main objective to side quests to make you, your armor, your son's armor, and weapon stronger. Best game of all time.
I like how you slipped in best game of all time at the end. Well done. I like how you timed that out. You were ready. You were rehearsed. Nicely done, Josh. Reiner, you think it's the best PS4 game to date?
Yes, hands down. The more I think about that game, the more I love it.
I tweeted out last night that it was better than Game of Thrones. You liked it.
I can't go that far.
I couldn't go that far either. That was a little stretch.
That is a bit of a stretch. Josh, I'm going to put you on hold. You can pick up a pair of our awesome Polk Audio Striker headsets.
You know, it does have a lot of twists and turns like Game of Thrones, though, that you don't see coming.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it, because I haven't played it yet.
Totally worth
your
time.
And obviously, you can't explain what those would be.
Oh, no.
It's fine. Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk about Nintendo finally launching their online service 18 months after launch, coming in September. We'll tell you about that, what to expect from that. This crazy new game that we had never heard of until 3 hours ago called Atomic Heart. It sounds amazing.
Incredible.
It does. We're all stunned by this, by a developer we've never heard of, a game we didn't know is coming. Will this take E3 by storm? We'll talk a little bit more about that as well between now and the top of the hour. It's Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. It's Video Games Weekly on the Fan. Paul Charchi and Reiner with you. We already covered some Fortnite topics. Let's roll into Nintendo and their online service. We blasted Nintendo when the Switch launched, and rightfully so, Reiner, because they did not have a functional online service.
Yeah.
And they still barely do.
Now, yeah, you could play Mario Kart Splatoon over online. Like, there's online functionality, right? But they don't have the bells and whistles you find
not even close.
Xbox or PS4.
Yeah, you want to make a party? Ha. You know, you want to talk to each other? Ha. So let's talk about their new online service that they announced. It's coming this September. This is their version of Xbox Live or PlayStation Gold, effectively. And that means it's a fee-based service. So all the Nintendo people that have been, Nintendo's great, I'm never paying. They'll never get a dime out of me. They're all stuck now. This allows for access to online play. So, Reiner, if you have to now pay for their online service, what happens to Splatoon 2? What happens to Mario Kart?
Are those grandfathered into this new plan, or are they the exceptions?
Yes. Are they? You know, am I going to have to suddenly, if I want to play Splatoon 2 online? And by the way, it's about the only way you can play Splatoon 2 is online. Am I going to now have to buy their online service?
Yeah, you might be in for a rude awakening.
That could very well be. You will get cloud saves. That's nice. And also vastly overdue.
Yeah, I mean,
we've had cloud saves on Xbox for 5 years.
If your Switch breaks, which is a mobile device, which can happen a lot.
That's right.
And you have to send it back to Nintendo, they might be like, this thing's done for. We'll send you a refurbished one.
Right.
Your data's gone.
It's all gone. You got to start
your 100 hours in Zelda, gone.
Right, right. You'll get original 8-bit NES games. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a million ways. If you want to play Legend of Zelda, there's a lot of ways to do it. But they're going to try to entice you into their online service with Legend of Zelda, Donkey Kong, Super Mario Brothers. There's a 30-year-old games, you know, and they're great games, but that doesn't move the needle for me.
Guess what? You can't buy anymore the NES Classic. That's strange
that
these games
that?
Are now available in this virtual console.
Mm-hmm.
What aren't on there? The Super Nintendo games. What can you still buy?
Yeah, the Super Nintendo Classic. That's right.
Ugh.
Funny. Voice chat is still not going to be part of your Switch. If you want to, God forbid, talk to anybody online when you're playing on your Switch, you're going to have to do it through their app on your phone.
Nobody has figured out how to do this in the world, Church. So give them a break.
No kidding. Okay, so now the good news is it's cheaper than Live and it's cheaper than Gold. For 1 month, it's going to be $4. You can buy an annual plan for $20. And you can also get a family annual plan that allows for up to 8 people for $35. So it's about a third or half the price of Live or Gold.
So I'll get the $35 one. You could be my son.
I will be.
Little you Paul.
Know, you're already my daddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounded weird. This service is only for Switch. 3DS and the Wii U totally unaffected by this. They're not going to try to backwards compatible this. They can barely get this running on Switch. So, you know, that's not going to happen. And then in conjunction with this, Nintendo says it has no plans to bring Virtual Console to the Switch. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm more lukewarm on these old games than other people are. I think what they're just going to do, Reiner, is they're just going to sell you the old games.
Yeah.
The Virtual Console was this sort of contrivance that you would sort of load this virtual console and then you would buy these old games through the virtual console. I think they're just going to say, if you want to go buy Super Mario Brothers 3, we'll just sell it to you and it'll run like any other app on your Switch.
And I think that's smart on their hand where it's you just have your one store, right? Your one kind of central online thing. You don't have a bunch of buzzwords people are latching onto.
Yeah, that's right. So it's coming. It's still remarkably hamstrung, in my opinion, especially without voice chat built in.
I'll say this. If you're launching a console and you can't get your online network up in the first year, you have 1 year. You cannot charge people for it afterwards because you are muddying the waters. Like, we brought up the points of confusion that people are going to have.
Yeah.
And this just seems to come in out of nowhere, and it's still lacking many of the features that people come to expect. Voice chat, like, that is just the basic thing.
Yes. The Xbox One, not the Xbox One, the original Xbox, now what, 15 years ago, had voice network built into it the day the damn thing launched. Come on, Nintendo.
Yeah, it's like getting a seat on a flight and them saying, like, well, you don't get the backrest. Just sit up straight.
Ridiculous.
You'll be fine.
Yes. Yeah, no, frustrating. But, you know, when the Switch shipped without a headphone jack, well, actually, it's got a headphone jack, but I don't know why we can't just use that as a microphone and a headphone. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. I really don't know what they're doing over there.
I don't either. We've got somebody else who's been patiently waiting, and that is Austin. Hello, Austin.
Hello, guys. How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
So I just got a couple things I wanted to ask you guys about. First thing I wanted to ask about is, what do you guys think about that game, Anthem? Kind of the open world, space-themed shooter RPG.
Yeah, we got a long look at it at E3 last year, and I bet we're going to get inundated with it at this E3.
I hope so.
Reiner, yeah. You know, I think I'll go first, and you can be more authoritative.
Sure.
I thought what we saw at E3 looked really compelling. It looked super fun, and I love the world that they showed, and I thought it looked tremendously interesting. Then when I
saw, it looks beautiful.
It does, doesn't it? Then, knowing EA's got their fingerprints all over it, when we saw what happened with Star Wars Battlefront, I'm like, oh God, they're going to microtransaction loot box this thing into the ground. So that's where I'm sitting right now. On Anthem, Reiner, what do you think about Anthem?
Well, after what happened to Star Wars Battlefront 2 with the microtransactions and the loot crates and all that star card stuff, I think all that's going to be far removed from Anthem. I don't think it's going to be anywhere close to Anthem.
Right.
There might be microtransactions, but I bet it's like cosmetic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that demo, I know a lot of people immediately compared it to Destiny because it had like the co-op element. You're in space. But when I looked at it, I was like, that's like the Iron Man experience I always wanted.
Yeah.
Flying around with the jets
suits,
on your heels, in the big Titan armor.
Yeah.
I thought, and shooting rockets off your back, I thought that looked incredible. So that was my game of the show last year at E3. It wasn't Game Informers because we didn't get to play it. That's kind of the criteria we
have.
Which
is fair,
To be eligible, it has to be real. We have to see it, and they didn't have that available. So that was just in our trailer section of, like, check out this new game.
Right.
But I hope that narrative changes this year. I hope we get to get our hands on it.
One other thing I'll mention about Anthem is, given that I think fairly people are frustrated with the Destiny, with the Destiny storyline and narrative, and Mass Effect's storyline and narrative, EA needs to give us a real story with some meat and something we can even understand and something we care about. That would be nice in Anthem as well.
And it's BioWare, the creators of Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes, this is what they do.
So
they build great stories.
Yeah, that is their foundation. So, yes, I think there's reason to be excited for Anthem. We'll have to wait and see, though. We're just a month away from the biggest video game show of all time, which is E3, and Anthem better be there.
Oh, it'll be there in a big way, I'm sure. Austin, what are your thoughts? Have we already squashed all of your thoughts?
You guys nailed it pretty well there. I'm very excited. You know, I was kind of disappointed with the Star Wars stuff from EA.
Mm-hmm.
Campaign story wise, like you guys were kind of saying. So I am really excited for this, and it looks beautiful. I have the Xbox One X, so the 4K capability is really exciting. And
yes.
The other thing I wanted to ask you guys about is I heard you guys talking about Call of Duty, and personally, I've kind of replaced Call of Duty with Titanfall, and I want to know what you guys think about Titanfall.
We think it's a great game that got lost, that got ill-timed when it released. It was like released on like Call of Duty Day. And, you know, people totally forgot about it, and it got lost in the shuttle of all the big shooters that came out in that time frame, and we think it's a really tight game.
Yeah, one of the best single-player campaigns in a shooter ever. Like, that they knocked it out of the park.
I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and I think there was a lot of frustration from everybody that worked on Titanfall that they chose to release it at maybe the worst possible week of the year.
And I know that studio is making a new Star Wars game for EA. Maybe we'll see that at E3, too. But
nice.
I really do hope that Titanfall team stays together and gets a third crack at it.
Yeah, I agree. I've totally gotten rid of Call of Duty just for that game. It's so fast-paced, and I just think it's overall well done with the parkour integrated into it.
Yeah, That is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, and it just seems like it's not that popular. So I kind of wanted to ask you guys about what you thought about that. And
yeah, we're on board. Thank definitely. You, Austin. Great call. I'll throw you on hold. You can pick up a pair of our Polk Audio Striker headsets, courtesy of Jim Crowley. As I was typing in Anthem while Austin was talking, there is a note here that EA just in the last like day has confirmed that Anthem is still going to be a 2019 game. So I guess that's what I think it has always been pointed towards, and it's obviously a huge window, but hopefully earlier 2019.
That's good. They're taking their time.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, you know, we always want them to get it right, but at some point you got to ship the damn game. So it works both ways. Speaking of things that we want to see at E3, let's talk about this trailer for the game called Atomic Heart, Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 hours ago, I didn't know, nobody knew what this thing was.
Yeah, it appeared on Steam. With a release date of 2018 from developer and publisher Mundfish.
Mundfish, a Russian studio in Moscow, and the trailer, Reiner, is staggering. I haven't been this energized by just a trailer since BioShock put out its first trailer, and I looked at that and went, oh my God, this thing is unbelievable. And that's the feeling I've gotten from this game, Atomic Heart.
And the trailer isn't just a snapshot of an area or a story sequence that they're trying to set up with CG. It looks like we're seeing a lot of the game, like little set piece moments all throughout this game, indoor, outdoor areas, all sorts of different enemies and NPCs and weapons. It just looks bonkers. And the setup is really intriguing, too. It takes place alternate history, Soviet Union.
Yep. Cold War, height of the Soviet sort of powers era. So probably like 1960s era Soviet Union.
And there's a facility where they're doing all sorts of crazy research on stuff, and
something's gone wrong, Reiner.
And they've gone radio silent. So you are a special agent who is sent in to find out what happened.
This is a psychedelic mutated version of Russia that's got weird machines, strange inhabitants, a dash of Salvador Dali built into here. It felt to me like a blend of BioShock, Metro, Stalker, and Fallout.
Yeah.
All kind of pulled into one. If it's fair to call four games, I can mash together those four games.
No, I see that. That's exactly what it is.
I would put all that together and say that's the closest thing I can come up with for Atomic Heart. It's coming to PC, Xbox, and the PS4. Its page is already opened up on Steam for Atomic Heart. Nothing yet on PS4 and Xbox. So we don't know if it's the same day, if it's going to launch on the same day, or if it's coming to PC first. Usually the international studios, like a Russian studio, will do PC first.
Yeah.
It's cheaper, honestly, and they can, you know, get some funds done that way, get some funds in the door. But maybe it'll launch in all three. I don't know. Let me ask you this. Reiner, every E3, some game comes out of the woodwork that none of us knew about, you know, in some cases days before or a month before, and it becomes the buzz of E3. Is there a chance that Atomic Heart is going to be that game?
Yes and no. The yes is if they worked with Microsoft or have been as you know, the ID Xbox, the indie kind of studio thing, where they'll be on stage, you know, during their press conference, and then have a spot at the booth where you could play it. But a lot of times with these international companies, they don't attend E3. They don't go to these press conferences, and their games just show up in the marketplace with no marketing whatsoever.
Right.
And the only reason people stumbled upon this is it went live in the new release section. People started clicking on it. And Steam, if you're on Steam, new releases come in every few minutes.
Yeah, right? It's constant, right.
But from there, it went viral. Like, people were like, oh my goodness, has anybody heard of this? Who are these developers?
Yeah.
And there still aren't answers out there. People are fishing for information, and it's just like the game, radio silence.
You run a news gathering organization, Reiner. Go find out. Contact them.
We're trying.
Good. Go find out what's going on with this company.
It looks very cool.
Doesn't it look very cool?
And it's not that's not the only game.
No, they've got, oddly enough, they've got, in the midst of shipping this year in 2018, like next week, they're shipping a full VR game called Soviet Luna Park. that's coming to I know it's coming to Vive and Oculus. And so, yeah, they're, you know, out of the blue. Oh, by the way, are they coming? Yeah, Vive and Oculus. Up to an 8-player support on that. I don't know anybody that's playing. Well, maybe it's online multiplayer. It must be online multiplayer. But that looks awfully good, too. So there's a lot going on with this company nobody knows anything about.
Crazy.
It is crazy. It's a fun time.
They even list by the games like Metro 2033, Stalker, and DayZ.
Your press contact for this company, Munfish, that we know nothing about,
mm-hmm.
but we think this trailer's amazing, is somebody, and I don't know if it's a man or a woman, named Nizn Hanyaya Siriomayatnicheskaya. That's your media contact.
I will be in touch with her, him, very shortly.
Him, her, it. That's right. When we take a break, we will take a break. We come back. Speaking of Steam, we'll tell you the new highest rated game on the entirety of Steam. It's a brand new game. We'll talk about that when we come back in just a second.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Final segment of Video Games Weekly. Paul Charchi and Reiner with you. If you miss any part of the show, don't forget to check the podcast, KFAN.com, Fan on Demand. Reiner,
mm-hmm.
The highest rated game on all of Steam.
Half-Life 2.
No, that's the most overdue. That's the most needlessly forgotten franchise in the history of video games, would be Half-Life. It's a VR game called Beat Sabers. Actually, it's Beat Saber, singular, even though you play with two sabers. Your office played it today. I played it today. I had a blast with it. I loved it. It's simple, but it's just done so well. Tell people, and I assume you watched enough of it to tell people about it, or I can if you want.
No, I can.
Go ahead and tell people a little bit about Beat Saber. For virtual reality, it's on PC and it is also on PlayStation VR.
Yeah, so we've all seen that video of the lightsaber kid in the garage, right?
Yeah,
swinging the lightsaber around. That's basically it in VR. So you have, you know, your two controllers mm-hmm. on PlayStation. You have the what they call PlayStation Move controllers with the little light up balls on the bottom of them.
Yep,
or on the top of them, and in the game world. In VR, those controllers you're holding turn into lightsabers, a red and a blue lightsaber.
Right.
And you move them around, it's just like you're holding a lightsaber, right?
It does. And actually, when you cross the sabers, the controllers vibrate, you know, and makes that sound when the sabers hit each other, right? And the controller vibrates. It's very authentic.
And then it's just like every other rhythm game ever made since Guitar Hero with a note highway. Right,
that it does
is
have
giving
a
you the timing
eye, right?
of a song, and yep. you need to hit the saber in the middle of these notes. Right, the more in the middle, the better.
Yep,
at certain angles.
Yeah, so it'll be you need to hit this. You need to hit blocks come down. A blue block comes down for your right saber. Red block for your left saber, and they all have an arrow on them, and you have to swipe the block in that direction. It sounds simple. It's fascinating and it's hard.
Yeah, I watched Kyle play a little and it looked like he was playing with like invisible like jump ropes.
I bet it did.
Moving his arms, spinning them around in circles.
Right. Like one of the sad truths of virtual reality is you look like a doofus.
Yeah.
You know, from the outside world, you look like a doofus. But you know what? Who cares? Because you're having a great time.
But for those who have played it, over 2,000 people on Steam are calling it the best rated game on Steam's network. There's
not the best rated VR game. Not the best rated VR game. The best rated game, Beat Saber. It's a blast. I have had so much fun with this. It's in early access, but this thing feels like a totally finished product. And part of the bit on VR is, you know, mostly you don't get like Skyrim with 200 hours. Most VR games are designed for you to go have fun for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And this, I didn't want to stop playing. I made, well, actually, I started to get tired. I mean, you get hot playing this game, swinging your arms all around. There's also some dodging that goes on. You're ducking and dodging left and dodging right, and you're swiping like crazy.
Sounds like a good workout.
It was a good workout.
So what makes this one different than the others? Because if you watch a video of this, it looks like I said, every other rhythm game with the Note Highway, there's been VR games like this.
Yeah, Audio Shield was similar. Here's why this game, Beat Saber, has got this thing down just perfectly. Number one is, unlike Audio Shield, will play with any song you give it. Any song you give it, and it will do its best to sort of decode that song and send you notes in time with the song. But it's just the algorithm just isn't good enough so that it really feels like that song. This game has got about 10 songs. Beat Saber's got about 10 songs in it, Reiner, and they've tuned the drops perfectly for it. The game is just hard enough. It's perfectly polished. It works brilliantly. It just feels great. It's just got this it factor that most games don't have, and it's a blast.
Out of nowhere. Yeah, another game just kind of out of nowhere.
Well,
it's been in the works for two years.
Yeah, it's been in the works. And if you follow VR, they've actually been putting out regular videos for Beat Saber. In fact, they've got a video with 1.7 million views on YouTube of people playing Beat Saber.
No one saw this coming, though, right? Like,
not best review game ever.
Exactly.
But in the VR community, trust me, this thing was, they've been counting down the days for this because the developer, something called Hyperbolic Magnetism, did a great job of just generating a ton of buzz for it.
That's their first game, by the way.
First game ever. And it's an awfully good one. Beat Saber. Recommended highly. Also, we should do a quick review. Pillars of Eternity.
Yeah.
Two. You guys did a review on this. Matt Miller, in particular, did it. Gave it a solid score of 8.75 out of 10. Pillars of Eternity, both 1 and 2, were done by developer Obsidian, one of the best RPG creators of the last 20 years. Lots and lots of great work in their history. And like all the Obsidian games, Pillars of Eternity 2, Reiner, very heavy on narrative and story. And that's always going to, I think, be the case for their kinds of games. It's a turn-based isometric RPG. So this is going to be, you know, it's not first person. It's going to be slower. A lot of talking, a lot of story. It feels like a pen and paper tabletop style campaign.
Yeah, a lot of choice, though, in kind of how you sculpt that narrative for you and your party.
We're seeing that change a lot. It's meaningful choice. We saw it in Divinity, Original Sin 1 and 2, especially 2. The decisions that you make carry far-lasting implications, which is great. And we're seeing more and more of that choice and consequence come out, which I think is terrific. The big change from Pillars of Eternity 1 to Pillars of Eternity 2, the addition of sailing and ship-to-ship combat, which is new, and boarding other ships, that's new, which, you know, always sounds a little bit weird in a turn-based setting.
Yeah.
You know, I expect it to be the old Pirates game, the old Sid Meier game. Did you ever play that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I played it a lot growing up.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, it was good way back in the day. You'd do the ship-to-ship stuff, and then you'd land, and then you'd go, like, pillage, you know, South America, and steal all the gold, and then you take off back your ship.
And just go to another place and do the same thing.
Yeah, a little too realistic, I think. So Pillars of Eternity 2, it's called Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire, 8.75 out of 10. You can read the full review from Miller. You didn't spend any time with that, I imagine.
Nope, just I edited his review this morning. That's all far, as close as I got to that game.
Okay. Anything you want to add, having read the review?
He knocked it out of the park. I thought he did a great job on it.
All right, excellent review.
But I read it and I was like, yes, that reads like an 8.75 because I'm excited for what I just read. Like, I like choice in RPGs. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the sailing component makes it a little different, gives it a little different vibe. You go against a god, that seems like your nemesis. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
So, I'm intrigued by it. But these games, though, like, I just look at it and I'm like, I don't see a price tag. I just see hours.
That's right. 100 hours. Exactly. And I'm sure it is 100 hours of that. Couple other items for you, Reiner. Capcom posted its highest profitability in company history, buoyed by Monster Hunter World.
It's so
you
good.
Loved it when
yeah,
you played it.
Yeah, it deserves it. Yeah.
Came out in late January. Do you see how many copies they've sold?
6 million.
More.
Are you kidding? Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
10.
7.9.
Oh.
Let's round it
to
8 million copies.
That's fantastic.
One of the key decisions that they made, smartly, first time it's ever been multi-platform at once.
Yep.
They've done, you know, they've done all of these Monster Hunter games, they've all been single platform. It's the first time they've had a multi-platform release when they did PlayStation and Xbox at the same time.
What do you think that number would be if they hit on PC at the same time?
Well, it's coming on PC. It's nice you mentioned that. So it's coming. We don't know. All we know is it's coming a fall, winter. So sometime around then. So you figure if they sold 8 million on console, they'll sell another 2 million on PC and maybe more. If it turns into a worldwide hit, Monster Hunter World it'll crush on PC too, and Capcom will be even better. Now, this is nice timing for Capcom because the Resident Evil franchise is in deep trouble, I think.
No.
I think it is.
I mean, it didn't sell as much as they wanted, but 7 no. was good.
Resident Evil 7 Biohazard? Good?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then Marvel versus Capcom Infinite also did not sell as well as they were hoping.
No.
I know Resident Evil 7 Biohazard didn't sell as well as they were hoping. I actually went through their big investor release today, because apparently I have far too much time in my hands. And Capcom noted the soft sales of Resident Evil 7 Biohazard and Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. So apparently from a sales standpoint, those haven't worked out as well. But obviously Monster Hunter World has done brilliantly. Do you have any sense of what's next for the Monster Hunter World?
Two. Yeah, Monster Hunter World 2. I would imagine they'll probably have a steady stream
do
of
DLC, don't you think?
Yeah.
They haven't announced anything yet, though.
You know, they had that Horizon Zero Dawn limited time stuff. Mm-hmm. This is... I love that we get these really nice experiences like Thanos and Fortnite and playing as, you know, going against monsters from Horizon Zero Dawn and Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And playing against the Predator in Ghost Recon Wildlands. Like, it's like, wow, that's cool, but it's gone in a month.
It is.
That stuff, like, never returns. Those are experiences that are great in games and then are forgotten.
Forgotten.
Completely. I hate that.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be. It should be on disc or preserved somewhere where I can go play it whenever I want to.
That's kind of the beauty of having a game on cartridge or on disc, right?
You can't get rid of it
away from me now. I've got it right here. Can't erase my cartridge. Have you heard of a game called City of Brass?
Yes.
City of Brass was built by several former BioShock developers, and it's just gone from early access to full release, I believe, today. The setting is a procedurally generated Arabian Nights-style theme, and you are basically Indiana Jones. Like, when Indiana Jones is running through Morocco, you've got the idea.
Yeah, your primary weapon is your boot and a whip.
Boot and whip. Yes, and the whip can be both a weapon. It'll also be a thing that you use to, like, break jars and, you know, put out lights. And you can also swing around by it.
Yeah, and pull people into spiked traps.
Cool. So you got the whip like Indiana Jones. It's procedurally generated, so every time you play it, it's all new. It is a action-heavy loot fest with tons of combat, fast action. Easy to play, and it reminds me a little bit of Prince of Persia with all the traps. Did you play the old Prince of Persia games?
Oh, yeah. Well, what? I mean...
Did you play the original?
The traps were the worst part of those games.
Oh, of course.
Because it was like the most precise, down to the pixel precision needed for the jump
to be
to
just
grab
right.
under a ledge.
That's right.
But then they came back with Prince of Persia Sands of Time.
Mm-hmm.
Those games were great. But yeah, this is kind of... Our critic, J.B. Gwaltney, for Game Informer, said this is like kind of an underused setting in games, right?
Yeah.
Where we don't really see that often. So it's nice to have that come back and be used in a different way. Like, yes, like you said, you're kind of Indiana Jones, but I think that's a cool setting for that type of character to be in.
I do, too. Again, it's called City of Brass. And anything that's got some of the BioShock lineage in, I'm kind of automatically interested in. Also, City of Brass has got a clock, and you it's got timed levels, so you have to sprint through them. And so the game is really pressuring you to make instant decisions.
The one thing I don't like about that is it's a roguelike.
Yes, it is a roguelike.
So that means when you die...
It's over.
It's over. You lose everything and you got to start over. But you do get certain things that kind of buff you on your next time through.
Mm.
But I don't know why roguelikes are still super popular. That's the one genre where I'm just like, I don't have enough time to play the game 18 times.
Yeah, which is part of the bit. You have to, you know, if you're going to play roguelikes, I think you love the fact that you have permadeath.
Yep.
That you don't carry over your equipment and your loot. That
there's some that do it well.
Everything's different.
But a lot of times it's used to punish you.
Only $20, City of Brass. So we encourage you to check that out as well. As a reminder for your PC players, you can check out anything on Steam, and if you play it for less than, I think, 2 hours and you don't like it, you can just return it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget that. I mean, basically everything on Steam is a demo to you. So, you know, as we talk, you know, Steam came up 3 or 4 times today, different games. Why not use it?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, send it back. Try it. Try all these demos and find things you like that you might not otherwise just plunk down the money on. Reiner, great job.
Hey, thanks, man.
If you missed any part of the show, check out the podcast, Cafe and Fan on Demand, also available on iTunes. I believe we are back next week.
Awesome.
After that, we start running into some Stanley Cup stuff that we'll have to negotiate, but I believe we will be back next week. So we will talk to you then. Have a great night, everybody. Bye-bye.
From the Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center, here's a look at the roads. Most of the area roadways still in pretty good shape. There aren't any accidents or delays to report. But we do have a lot of road work out there on County Road 24. That's closed both ways between Homestead Trail and Hunter Drive. Plus northbound on Highway 169, the on-ramp is closed at Highway 610. And on 38th Street, the bridge is closed both ways between Nicollet Avenue and 3rd Avenue. Plus on Broadway Street, that's closed in both directions between Stinson Boulevard and Industrial Boulevard. And that's traffic on the Fan. This report is brought to you by Discover Student Loans. Figuring out how to cover college costs, Discover Student Loans is one of the top private student loan lenders in the country with great rates, zero fees. Plus, students can earn a cash reward for their good grades. Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.